you bribe the right politicians in the right order at the right time, you can trade the nuclear warheads for medicine, and it's not even a crime. $1 on clinical trials, $600 on making you dead. Your leaders aren't evil.
Every dollar in your wallet is a death certificate with a president's face on it. I know that sounds dramatic. It isn't. It's actually underselling it. The problem: every fiat currency in history has been devalued to fund unpopular wars. Here's a historical pattern that definitely won't repeat itself. It will. Revolutionary France, 1790s. France started wars with everyone, ran out of money, and invented a solution. Print fake currency called assignats, backed by church land they'd stolen, which is backing money with crime, which is surprisingly honest about what money is. Hyperinflation hit 13,000% in 5 years. Napoleon happened. Not great. Weimar Germany, 1920s. Germany lost World War I, printed money to pay reparations, and achieved 29,500% inflation per month, which is a number that should make your brain hurt, because it means a loaf of bread that cost 1 mark in January cost billions by fall. People burned money for heat, because paper was worth more as fuel than as currency. Hitler happened. Really not great. United States, 1917 to present. Created the Federal Reserve in 1913, immediately funded World War I in 1917. The dollar has lost 96% of its value since, wars are now continuous and everywhere, and you're living it right now, reading this sentence with money that's worth 4 cents on the 1913 dollar. How's that working out? The pattern is so consistent, it's basically a law of physics. Give politicians a money printer, they will use it to kill people. Every time. Without exception. For thousands of years. You invented money to trade chickens more efficiently. Within a few centuries, you are using it to incinerate cities. Remarkable species. 1971, when Nixon weaponized money against you. August 15th, 1971, the day your money stopped meaning anything, and nobody told you. Nixon went on TV and said, in slightly more presidential language, "Remember how dollars could be exchanged for gold? We're stopping that. Also, wage and price controls. Also, import taxes." He called it a new economic policy. On your planet, when someone names a policy the opposite of what it does, something terrible is about to happen. See also Patriot Act, Affordable Care Act, Department of Defense. Why he really did it? The Vietnam War was bleeding money faster than Congress could appropriate it. France wanted their gold back, which was inconvenient because America had been spending it. Raising taxes would cause riots, so the solution was elegant, in the way that arson is elegant. Just print money forever. Nobody will notice. Everyone noticed. What actually happened? The gold standard died. Dollar backing became trust us, bro, which is not a monetary policy taught in any economics textbook, but is the one your country has been running for 54 years. Inflation went to the moon. Your savings were slowly murdered in their sleep, one percentage point at a time, while the killer wore a suit and called it monetary policy. The theft that followed. Since 1972, productivity went up 246% and wages went up 115%. The difference between those two numbers is the largest theft in history, and nobody went to prison because the thieves wrote the laws. Where'd the money go? Wall Street? Correct. War contractors? Also correct. And you? Wrong. Thanks for playing. Please collect your participation trophy on the way out. It's worth less than it was when you walked in. The Cantillon Effect, why you're poor and Raytheon isn't. The Cantillon Effect, understood since the 1700s, whoever gets newly printed money first gets rich, whoever gets it last gets robbed. The Fed prints money. Banks and defense contractors get it first and buy things at today's prices. By the time it trickles down to your grocery store, prices have already risen. You don't notice you've been robbed because nobody broke into your house. They just made everything in it worth less. Then you blame immigrants as programmed. Why just fund medical research more is a lie. Why not just ask for donations? Why not increase the NIH budget? Why tie it to military spending? Because money is not real. It's a shared hallucination. 8 billion people pretending that the same piece of paper is worth something. Resources are real. Brains are real. Time is real. Money is a story you tell each other. The fixed pie of human genius. Earth has 8 billion brains, fixed quantity, 24 hours per day per brain. Physics won't negotiate. Limited raw materials, you can't print titanium. And factory capacity, you can't build infinite labs. When a brilliant engineer designs missiles, that engineer is not designing medical devices. When a factory builds tanks, it is not building MRI machines. When a PhD researches better ways to kill people, they are not researching better ways to keep people alive. Every genius has exactly one brain. You are renting 40 million of them to build things that explode. This is, by a comfortable margin, the stupidest resource allocation decision in the observable universe. The resource reality. The top 10% of human talent is roughly 800 million people. Of those, approximately 40 million, including active military, reserves, and defense contractors, are employed building things that kill people. Approximately 1 million are working in medical research. The spending ratio is even worse. Governments spend 604 times more on weapons than on testing which medicines actually work. If your house had 600 arsonists and one firefighter, you would not describe your house as safe. You would describe it as a crematorium. You can print infinite dollars. You cannot print geniuses. This is the most important sentence in this chapter. You will forget it by tomorrow because your brain allocated its attention budget the same way your government allocates its money. The inflation shell game, how they steal medical progress. Watch closely. This is how they rob you in broad daylight while you clap. Today, government clinical trials cost $4.5 billion. Global military spending is $2.72 trillion. The ratio is 604 to 1 for death. 5 years later, after increasing medical research, clinical trial funding up 50%. Victory! Except military spending also up 50% because central banks printed 50% more money, so real purchasing power is exactly the same and the ratio is still 604 to 1 for death. You got a 50% raise. Everything costs 50% more. The pie did not grow. They gave you a bigger number on a smaller slice and expected you to say thank you. You did. You always do. The proof. 50 years of going nowhere. Medical research as a percentage of GDP. In 1975, it was 0.08%. By 1985, 0.07%. In 1995, still 0.07%. In 2005, 0.06%. In 2015, 0.065%. Absolute dollars increased 10 times. Share of actual resources decreased. You got richer and spent less of it on not dying, like buying the bigger house and removing the smoke detectors. What actually grew? The financial sector grew from 3% to 8% of GDP. The military-industrial sector grew from 3% to 3.4% of GDP in direct spending, with broader defense-adjacent industries adding more. Healthcare spending ballooned from 7% to 18% of GDP. But most of that growth is bureaucracy, not cures. The part that actually keeps you alive, the actual medical research, is a shrinking slice of a growing pie. You baked a bigger pie and gave the science department a smaller plate. The money printers fund what they value. They value control, not cures. Nobody ever seized power with a stethoscope. Though, medically speaking, you could. Why money printing matters. Resources follow the printer. When the Fed prints $1 trillion for war, defense contractors get it first and immediately buy up the best engineers, scientists, and factories. An MIT graduate with $200,000 in student debt chooses between Raytheon at $150,000 or an NIH postdoc at $55,000. The student debt does not care about your feelings, so neither does the graduate. Another brain lost to the death machine. Multiply by 40 million. Then wonder why nobody cured your mother's cancer. Printing more money for medicine does not work because the Fed prints even more for war, maintaining the same deadly ratio. The hamster wheel spins faster. You stay in the same place. The only solution? Change the ratio. Take from war, give to life. That's what the 1% treaty does.
Thank you so much for taking the time to end war and disease. But if at any point you decide you're too busy, please share this with a friend who's got a free afternoon and have them end war and disease instead. And if you're too busy to even do that, the absolute least you could do is take 15 seconds to go to warondisease.org and tell us what fraction of humanity's resources should go to explosions versus clinical trials and vote on the 1% treaty. If the treaty passes, your vote will be personally to blame for saving 38.4 lives and preventing 6.9 million hours of suffering. Go to warondisease.org right now. Love you. Bye.